good to be with you again tonight. And as Ron said, we had a beautiful day today and a wonderful day, and been doing some spring cleaning, and I'm not too good at that, but we're getting there. And
me neither.
I don't have a female now to tell me how to do it, so I have to kind of play it by ear. So I'm getting it, but it's doing it slowly, but it's going. Hebrews 11 again, and I've read the verse 32 quite a few times lately, because we went over this list that Paul listed concerning those that he didn't have time to write about, to these Hebrew children that needed someone to teach them instead of, you know, them doing it the way they were supposed to do it. And we're going to get a little more insight on that tonight, because we're taking up prophets. Now, we talked a week or so about Samuel, I'm sorry. I got Samson on my mind. But David, we got David, we got into the scripture that where David was born, and then also Samuel, and then we talked about that and Samuel growing up. And the last study we had, we found out that Samuel was the last of the judges, that he judged, evidently he judged Israel 4 years in Eli's place, or somewhere about that. And also that he was also the first prophet that God called in the ways of a ordinary prophet. But we're going to deal with another place that tonight, and we're going to take up the study of prophets. This is going to be study 33 in our study of Hebrews, which is turned into Numbers chapter 11. You can go ahead and turn there if you want to. And this is page 195 if you have a companion Bible. And this is the 27th day of March of 2019. And so we're going to look at Numbers chapter 11. We're going to start it at chapter 10, but I'll give you a little intro into it through verses 1 through 10. And people were murmuring against the Lord again, and they were getting somewhat close to the promised land that they had been promised by God. They weren't there yet, but they were getting there. And that the people murmured, fire from God was coming down and burning some of them and taking them away. And they were murmuring about not having the food that they felt like they should have. And it was bothering Moses also in that situation. And they said, well, we remember the time when we were in Egypt and we had leeks and cucumbers and melons and all this stuff that was growing around the Nile River there. And of course, these people had been wandering in the wilderness for almost 40 years. So God sent manna down. And Moses found some of the people crying about not having enough food. And so Moses talked with God, and God sent manna down, and he sent it down in two different nights. But you know, it was only supposed to last one day, except on a weekend, or on, you know, on their holy day. And so they changed the way it was to be made. They ground it up into meal and stuff, and kind of like cement, so to speak. It was hard and crusty and tasted like oil, and they didn't like it. And so they were really giving Moses a hard time, and God was hearing their murmuring. They didn't remember, or didn't want to remember, what happened to their ancestors in the wilderness for murmuring. You don't do that with God. And so this got all their attention, and Moses got to talking with God on their behalf. So we're going to start with 11, or 10. Chapter 11, verse 10. And we're going to read the rest of the chapter and the next, if we have time. It said, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. So Moses had asked God to stop the fire, and he had stopped the fire. And so he gave him manna, and they didn't do the manna deal like it was supposed to be done. And so they murmured about that. Then verse 11, and Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? And thou layest the burden of all the people, of all this people, upon me. Moses is communing with Jehovah now, and he's telling Jehovah, man, this is more than I can take. You know why? If you've read the rest of the story, you will find out that he had with him in this camp 600,000 foot soldiers. That's 1,500. I mean, 150,000. No. 15,000 from each tribe was with him, along with all the people it takes to keep that many people going. And so, no wonder. And they had the people that took care of the cattle and fed the people, or helped feed the people and do all the things that needed to be done. So he probably had a rough estimate of 1,200,000 people with him. So no wonder Naomi, when they did cross the river, I got to thinking about this. Or not Naomi, but Rahab. She told the spies when they sent the spies, said, yeah, I've heard about you guys. Well, if they were that many, you know, this was a large city group, so to speak, going, you know, traveling in the group. So Moses said, Lord, I don't want to be a burden on you, but this is more than I can handle. And, you know, God had set Moses up to be the leader of these people. So listen to what he says. Verse 12, I have conceived all this people. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a suckling child into the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. He said, you know, Am I like a father to this many people? It's just overcoming.
It's kind of the, I don't really want this job whining at it.
Yeah. He said, whence should I have flesh to give to all the people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. So he's asking Job, he says, where am I going to get it? 14. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, he says, if you're going to do me this way, then kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. He said, just go ahead and do me in. I have reached the limit. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 16, this is Jehovah's instructions. And if you've never heard of where the 70 come from, you're going to see it right here and now. The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them. Let me turn on a page. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. So he said, you know, you bring this 70 in to the front entrance of the tabernacle, and I'm going to deal with you there. So this is the council. I think this is where the council began. This is the first 70 that I can find that were called out. And listen to what he's going to do. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, Moses, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. He said, I'm taking the Spirit that I have put on you. I'm going to break it down into 70 different pieces, and I'm going to give each one of these elders a piece of that, and they're going to prophesy as you prophesy, and it's going to be sufficient for all of them. Now, do you realize and understand the power that Moses had? And it's going to be dispersed out. Gee, have you ever stopped to think about it? That God is going to break up this one Spirit that was put on Moses to take care of the people, and he said, I'm going to disperse it between 70 others. Well, actually, it happened to 73 in total. Verse 18, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with thee, with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. And ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month until it come out your nostrils. He said, you're going to have enough meat till it's going to be running out your nose. Now, the Lord was kind of taken with these folks. And he says, and it be loathsome to you because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and ye have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt. So that really was what, after the Lord did what he did for him, that's really what really got him riled up. But he said, I'm going to give it to you for a month. You're going to have it running out your nose. And Moses said, the people among who I am are 600,000 foot men. That's the soldiers. That's the people that did the fighting. That's some of the people that walked around for rehab. The harlot was when they went over there and the walls come tumbling down when they shouted. So you can double that figure just about it for the people that were bringing the animals and doing all this other stuff. Okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hands waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. He said, is my hand or my arm not long enough to take care of you folks that I have chosen out from the people of the world? He said, you need to stop and think about these things. Verse 24, chapter 11 of Numbers. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took the spirit that was upon him, Moses, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. So those 70 became prophets, right straight off. But guess what? Now, he got them in the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit divided up Moses' spirit. And they all prophesied. They all had plenty of power to do the prophesying there. But guess what? It went a little further than that. Verse 26. But there remained two of the men in the camp. And the name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but were not out in the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. Well, the 70 were in the tabernacle, but there was two of them, even in the camp. They were prophesying too. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of, let's go to 27. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, one of the ones that were going to spy out the country, he didn't know it yet. The son of Nun, but that was him. They were going to go in and spy out the land. The servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. So Joshua said, Lord, forbid them from prophesying. And boy, that irked Moses. Because verse 29, and in my notes, I underlined it to make sure I wouldn't forget it. Moses said unto him, or unto Joshua, enviest thou for my sake? So he said, Joshua, are you jealous? because of me. And said, listen, I would to God, or this is my wish, that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And I had it all. That's what the children of God that come from the loins of Abraham, that was what they were all supposed to do. Everybody that was an Israelite was supposed to be able to teach and to prophesy. Had they done exactly what God wanted them to do. That's how far away from God they were. So we should not ever forget that. That Moses said, man, I wish they'd all be like Eldad and Medad. That nobody didn't have to push them into doing it. Verse 31 says, there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quail from the sea. Now, I don't know. I can't explain. This is an enigma to me. I don't know where the quail come from that came across the water. Only God knows that. It's like the fishes that they caught, you know. And he says, and let them fall by the camp, as it were, a day's journey on this side, and if it were a day's journey on the other side. So the camp was big. It was, if you started walking from one end of the camp, it would take you all day to go to the other end of the camp, whichever way you went. Round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And 2 cubits was between 3.5 and 4 foot and 2 inches. So we don't know exactly, but that's how many quail was going to be there. And I thought they were just going to fall, but they were catching them. Because the next verse kind of gives you that information. And it said, and the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails, and he that gathered the least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And I looked up the homer there. Two homers were caught, was at least 16 bushels of American, 16 American bushels. The least, or the one that caught the smallest amount was 16 bushels. So they had food that was going to last them a month. But some of them didn't get to eat it. Because God was very displeased. And he says this in 33, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kilbroth Hattaavah, because they buried the people that lusted. And the people that were lusting for the food more than they were lusting for the love of the Lord. And so a lot of them died. I don't know how many, but another big bunch died there. And they buried him there. And the people journeyed from Kerboth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth. So they went on down to another place and stopped again. Now, they were still going toward the promised land. And they hadn't got there yet. And Moses was still with them because, you know, Moses went up on the mountain and died there. He saw the promised land from the mountaintop. And so I think he hasn't seen the mountaintop yet. But then we get to chapter 12. It says this. We're going to do 12 too. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, and her name was Zipporah, and she was a Cushite. And it says, Aarba was in the land of Cush, or Zipporah, and may have been of the Cushite nationally, though territory was territorially a Midianite place. So they were seven or eight groups that was in the promised land that basically was of the same origin. They were just different clans of those. And Miriam and Aaron, spoke against Moses because they didn't like it because he had married a foreign woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us?" And the Lord heard it. You know, you can't get anything beyond Jehovah. And we got a parenthetical insertion here in verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth." And very meek means to be patient. It didn't mean that he was somebody that you could run over or bully around. And then this is the first occurrence of the very meek word Hebrew, and it means to endure with submission that might be evaded. In contrast with the Hebrew Anni, it means to bear which cannot be avoided. So Moses didn't go out looking for trouble. It come to find him. And he said, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam." And he says this, Jehovah says, "Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And the three came out. This was like our parents tell us to meet me at the woodshed. About the same situation. And they did. "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth," or came forward. Oh boy, now they knew they were in deep trouble. "And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you two," or among you, I added the two, "I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all of mine house. So Moses was different from the rest. He had the great power, and he still has the great power, but the other 72 has the power along with him. But Miriam and Aaron, the brother and sister of Moses, still didn't have the power to prophesy. And he says to Moses, with him, Jehovah says, I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently or plainly, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude or the likeness or the image of the Lord shall he behold. Moses can see more of me than you can or anybody else. That's how I deal with him. Wherefore they were yet not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Miriam and Aaron. And he, Jehovah, departed. Now you see that word kindle? That is an instant result. The fire and the fury of the Lord is the power that he possesses, and it is instantly done. It's nothing that he has to wait for. He can have fire, or he could have exceeding power just by thinking it. And you see, when his anger comes forth, it is instant. It's immediate. It says, and he departed, and the cloud departed off from the tabernacle. Guess what? And behold, there she was, Miriam, the sister of Moses, became a leprous white as snow. She had no semblance of blood running in her body, because that's what leprosy is. Leprosy is a blood disorder, and it will kill you if not taken care of. So Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon his sister Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And they knew what leprosy was, because it was not an uncommon thing in that day. But it was something to be shunned. So if you had somebody within the camp that had leprosy, you were kind of looked upon as an outcast or someone that, you know, you didn't even want to look on them, much less be around them, you know. But God makes provisions for things. And so This is how it went. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, and he looked at him as one that was over him, and Moses was. He said, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us. So you see, Moses was kind of like, it was when God told Peter, he told Peter about the sin and what Peter said about sin would take place here on the earth. And so Moses was the same way. And so Moses had this same power in this situation. He said, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not thy sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. So, the first thing that Aaron did was admit that they were foolish, and that they were sinful, and their act of what they said and how they presented themselves and what they said about God's man Moses. And Jehovah didn't like that. And so he laid because Miriam was, I guess, the head one, she got the problem. And Aaron was trying to straighten it out. And he says this, Let her not be as one dead or stillborn, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. So he was as much saying already that his sister looked dead, as one that was stillborn, one that was come out of the womb without life. And that's what he was looking at when he saw his sister. Verse 13, And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Well, the Lord couldn't be seen. He went up in the cloud, but he could be heard. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? I know your Bible says, should she not be ashamed 7 days? But it is a word that can be transposed from one thing to the other, should or would. 7 days. So that was a thing that they did. If a child was contemptible, and the father was spit in her face, and she had to be outside the family for 7 days. That's the way it went. You just didn't do that. And so this is what the Lord said to Moses, said, if her father spit in her face, she'd be ousted for 7 days, right? He said, Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And so, she was like a contemptible child, as if God had spit in her face. She was going to be outside the group for 7 days, but when she come back, she was going to be healed. God can give this serious thing, he can take it back. It's not, with God, that's not a problem. But with man, it is a problem. A life and death situation. It says in 15, and Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. Moses did not move this around 1 million people until that one came back in the camp, his sister. And so I think everybody else was afraid to say anything about it because they were getting fire from God at one time. They could get fire from him again because God was fed up with these people thinking that he wouldn't take care of them. And when things got a little bit bad, you know, all they could see was their own, what they wanted to see. They couldn't see what God could do for them because they weren't asking God what to do for them. And they were wanting to do their own thing. They were going somewhere and they had heard that there was going to be a land there flowing with milk and honey, but they hadn't seen it yet. They hadn't got there yet. But on this 15-day journey that took them 40 years, God was testing them out. And that's the way it is. Sometimes he tests us. As parents, we sometimes test our children. Because we will say, well, if you do this, I'm going to do this. Is that not a test? I always took it as a test. I didn't really want to fail too much because I knew what it would be. Okay. And it says, and afterwards, in verse 16, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. And so we have covered basically two chapters in Numbers. And so we went from the people murmuring to Moses contacting God and saying and asking God to help him do something that where he wouldn't have to make all the decisions. And so now they got Moses and the 70 that were inside the tabernacle, surrounding, cover, and the two that was outside, and they were taking up the slack. But Moses still had the power that he had before. But God distributed that power to the others, and he wasn't short of power at all. And that's the way God can work with his establishing the things that he wants done. You always have the forthwith and the energy to do that which God wants done if you do it according to his way of doing it. And so if you want to read on with this story, this is not the end of the story, but this is the fact that here we have prophets that we don't know the names of all of them. We just know the name of Moses, and we know Medad, Eldad, and we know Joshua. But it's Joshua, but they changed his name, shortened his name down to Joshua. Caleb and Joshua, you remember, they were the two spies that said, we can take them. Well, they also became prophets. But, Joshua was in he was in the area of the tabernacle when God done put the Holy Spirit upon them, but not in them. It was the same way in Acts 2 when the people were gathered at Pentecost and they needed an interpreter, and they come from every parts of the known world that the Israelites had been carried off to or gone to. And they were speaking other languages, but they all came back at Pentecost. And you know, it said the cloven tongues of fire stood over their head. It wasn't in them, but it was on them. It was never in them until Christ gave his life and his blood. And that is when the Holy Spirit started to work, you know, because this was, 50 days after he had been on the cross. Pentecost, 50. And so, we see a new beginning begin, and we moved away from the Old Covenant or the Old Testament to the New Covenant or the New Diatheke. And so that was part of the ongoing thing. But here we haven't, you know, we haven't gotten here that far along yet. But there's a long list of prophets that are listed in the Strong's Concordance, if you look up prophet. And they were some prophetess. And Miriam became a lady prophet. And four or five others. And you remember in Luke, Anna, when the Christ child was born, there was a prophetess and an old lady in the temple area, when they brought the child in to bring him before the Lord, before God in the temple. And Anna was a prophetess. She was about 100 years old at that time. And she prophesied that this was the Son of God. In the book of Luke. And so we see that God deals with the ones that he wants to speak for him. And it started out basically with Samuel. And then it ran on through Zechariah. You know, in the 13th chapter of Zechariah, the last of the 12th chapter, in the verse part of the 13th chapter, it talked about those false prophets. And they were a lot of false prophets that showed up. They were a lot of people, you know, saying that they were the Messiah. Maybe as many as 200 of them down through the times or the age. But you see, everything that God puts forth, Satan tries to put up a counterfeit to the same thing. And so therefore, it was no doubt that Satan was trying to spoil the imagery, and he did, of the prophets, because the people killed a lot of them, or most of them. And they, a lot of them had an untimely death. And we won't get into all of that, because that's the practical thing. Was I wanted to begin to show you the power that God laid out to these people that allowed them to do his will for the time that he had allotted to them. And so this is how it going, and to realize that Moses had that kind of power. It could be distributed between 72 other people, and still he hadn't lost a thing. If you don't get anything else from that, go back to the 29th verse of chapter 11 and realize that the Lord's chosen people were not doing what they should have been doing, or they would have all could have been powerful people. Very powerful people. But look and realize the power that Satan also can wrought, because at every way he was trying to cut God out of everything so that he could win. That's the reason he got Christ upon the cross. He thought he had him. But he didn't win. He didn't realize that that was the way that God chose to pay for the sins of many with the blood of his son. We'll close with that. And Ronnie's on a conference call, so we'll go ahead and close. And thank you for being with us, and hope that you, by going over this, again, it had been a very, very, very long time since I had went over it. So, again, to me, it was kind of like plowing new ground again. But that's the way it should be in God's Word. And bow with me, and we'll go ahead and close. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the privilege and the honor of coming this way today. And, Lord, that we hope that in some way and somehow that you have allowed us to put forth your words to those that came and shared this time with us. And that is always, even if it's new or if it's not new, that you honor your word and that it goes out. It doesn't come back void. It comes back in power and in work. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the time that you've allowed us to do this. Lord, that you will continue to give us strength and grace to speak as long as you will allow us to do it. Thank you again for each and every one that took time to come this way by this medium that we use. And Lord, we thank you for each of them. And Lord, for their testimony and their love that we have felt down through the years. I ask you to guide and bless them. And for those that are sick and afflicted, to help them also, Lord, that we know and realize that you can and do heal, and that you can and do provide, and that these things we see and understand. God bless us now as we go toward our homes. watch over us and take care of us until we meet again, even Sunday morning, if it be thy will. Thank you for all you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.